Good evening. We dedicate this evening's news to the story of Jasmine Headley, who is currently in Rikers Island Jail. She was arrested after her child was ripped from her by NYPD and HRA officers. The video of the incident has gone viral worldwide. I'm Paul D'Arienzo with the WBAI Evening News for Tuesday, December 11th, 2018. Criminal charges have been dropped against Jasmine Headley, a 23-year-old mother who was subject of a brutal viral video, but she remains jailed on Rikers Island. In the video, filmed last Friday at a Human Resources Administration facility in Brooklyn, Headley is captured lying on the floor as four NYPD officers rip her one-year-old baby from her arms. NYPD arrested Headley and charged her with resisting arrest, obstruction, trespassing, and harming her own child. Before police confronted her, Headley had been sitting on the floor of the HRA office because there were no available seats. Headley, who is employed, went to the HRA building that day because she needed daycare vouchers for her child. According to her attorney, it hasn't been made clear why her vouchers had been withheld. Brooklyn Defender Services Executive Director and founder Lisa Schriebersdorf spoke on the steps of City Hall today.
She understands that this is very upsetting to her, but that it has a bigger impact because it shed a light on something that maybe people don't know about. So I just want to say that, Brooklyn Defender Services represents about 30,000 people a year in cases where they're arrested, cases where their children are being taken from them, when they're being deported, and our clients also in, NYCHA, public, HRA, all of these resources and services that the City of New York provides to our clients. And when our clients go to these places to get help, they are often treated so less than. They are treated that they are really not human. They are not people. That they are somehow, not even worthy of the time and respect that they actually do deserve. And I will tell you, for Jasmine had a job. Jasmine wanted to work. She said, all I want to do is be able to go to work. Her child was in daycare, just like my child was in daycare when I went to work. And they were paying it, and nobody advised her that they were cutting off her benefit. She found out because they just stopped sending the check. She doesn't know why. Still to this day, we don't know why. The child care worker doesn't know why. She had to go there to find out why, and she's there for 4 hours. And I don't know who's saying she should have just stood up, because I haven't seen that. I'm glad I haven't seen that, because that would really anger me.
That's right.
But I will tell you that she was just sitting peacefully. Every witness who was there, everybody who saw it, the part before the video, she was just sitting on the floor with her baby. And, people are talking about de-escalation. There was never any escalation here. This is not a person that was acting distressed, acting out. She was just sitting there and needed to sit down. I just want to thank everybody for coming forward and supporting Jasmine personally. And I really look forward to exploring some of the issues that are being brought up. And I think this is an opportunity to really look at the way people are treated at these agencies, and also when they call the police and what the police do when they are called. All of this needs to be looked at, and I hope that this story doesn't die out. I have to leave now because I'm going to go to court right now, see if I can get a judge to release her, and I'm hoping that that works out.
Yes, Lisa!
She's in Rikers Island right now because of a New Jersey matter. She was in a car with four people, and one of them had some stolen credit cards, not her. She was released. She was 20 years old. She was released at that time directly from the precinct or soon thereafter. I'm not that familiar with the New Jersey process. Trenton, New Jersey. She was never in New Jersey in her life. She is a Brooklyn girl, and she came home and didn't really understand that she needed to go back or where to go or anything like that. Okay, that because of that, a warrant was issued. When she came through court in Brooklyn, that is called an extradition because it's in another state. Because it's an extradition, she was being held on that. It sounds very serious, like it's another country, but it's not. Because of that, There is a provision in the law that allows the judge to release her on an extradition. We are asking the judge to implement that procedure this afternoon.
Yes.
He's going to hear us at 2 o'clock, hopefully calendar that argument for later today. If that doesn't work out, New Jersey is scheduled to come pick her up tomorrow morning.
Oh,
and bring
God.
Her to New Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay, right
my
now,
God.
We hope that when she gets to New Jersey, that the judge over there believes that she should be released. And I'm working now to get her an attorney. There have been many offers of pro bono attorneys. There's been an incredible outpouring of support, which, Jasmine doesn't even really know about, but I'm trying to make sure that she gets the best representation. And I know a lot of people want to help her. I know there's a lot of stuff going on in GoFundMe. I don't want to minimize this, but she needs to pay the babysitter and she needs to pay her rent when she gets out. And please don't go on any GoFundMe sites except the one we put up, because I know that that will go to her. They can indicate that they're not interested in picking her up. They can let everybody know that they don't want to press these charges. Absolutely. And I hope they do. I hope they do it right now or as soon as possible.
Lisa Schriebersdorf is director of Brooklyn Defender Services. Hedley is being held at Rikers Island without bail because of an open warrant from Mercer County, New Jersey that occurred 2 years ago. Allegedly, Hedley was in a car stopped by police where stolen credit cards were found. The cards were not in Hedley's possession, and she was released, unaware she had to return to a court date. Public advocate Letitia James, who is the attorney general-elect of New York State, says it was the security officers at HRA who were wrong in letting the situation escalate.
My office has been in touch with Mercer County, and we ask that they come and either have the warrant dismissed or have her released on her own recognizance. First, let me thank Eric Gonzalez. A number of us have been in touch with the District Attorney of Brooklyn. We want to thank him for dismissing the charges. We also would hope that Mercer County would do the same. We would hope that they would dismiss it in the interest of justice or issue a ACD, an adjournment in contemplation of dismissal, and they can do just that. And so we hope that at 2 o'clock, the judge in Brooklyn will release her on her own so that she can go to Mercer County in New Jersey. I think it's important to understand that the reason why there was a fugitive warrant, an extradition warrant, is because she had missed two court cases. And it's because, again, she probably had limited means to get to New Jersey and had no idea the legal process in New Jersey. The bottom line is that this young woman is still in jail, and her child right now is confused and is missing their mother. And it's really critically important that she be released and be released today. This is certainly an injustice, but it raises a number of issues. The first issue is the issue of de-escalation doesn't apply to her. It should have applied to the police officers.
That's right.
I also want to say that it was not NYPD that escalated this. It was the police officers at HRA. If you look at the video, it was the officers or the security personnel at HRA who escalated this. And they are the individuals who obviously need training too. Why did it take 4 hours for this one young woman to get assistance? It's my understanding, based on information and my experience dealing with a number of individuals who seek assistance from these agencies, that on average it takes 4 and 5 hours.
Right.
Three, why do they not accommodate women with children, senior citizens, and others who are disabled? We need more chairs. The answer to this should not have been the police. The answer to this should have been a chair.
That's right.
Plain and simple. A chair. We needed someone who was an adult in the room to de-escalate this matter, to hold this woman, and to get a chair for this woman.
That's right.
Someone who was an adult, someone who was sensitive, someone who recognized that these individuals who go to HRR centers are suffering from a lot of stress. And so it's critically important that we have individuals who understand what is happening and that this woman and her child were terrified.
That's right.
And so what we have in our society is the over-policing of communities of color and poor people. And as I said previously, poverty should not be a crime.
That's
I
right,
thank
right.
the Women's Caucus. I thank all of my elected officials. But this is not over. It raises a significant number of issues that need to be addressed both in the city and statewide. And I look forward to working with the elected officials to do just that. Thank you.
And Councilmember Inez Barron laid the blame on the NYPD, who she says have been committing these kind of unnecessary and brutal acts without accountability for decades.
And I'm also speaking on behalf of my husband, Assemblymember Charles Barron.
Councilmember Donovan Richards echoed or pronounced the position that I have. Until there are consequences,
that's right.
Especially for NYPD that act in a criminal manner,
that's
until
right.
there are appropriate consequences, we're going to continue to see this kind of behavior because it is systemic.
That's true.
All
that's
of the institutions here are racist, and they demonstrate that going back to the historic slavery that existed here. So until police receive the consequences for the crimes they commit, we're going to continue to see this because they can violate the law and nothing happens to them other than they lose vacation time. Punish the police, put them in jail, and fire them.
And Vanessa Gibson is a city council person from the Bronx. She says Headley did nothing another mother would not have done to protect her child.
Councilmember Vanessa Gibson.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. I add my voice to all of my colleagues in government and just expressing our outrage as an African-American, as a woman. Mm-hmm. It is just unacceptable that Jasmine had to endure this. Any mother would always go to the end of the earth to protect her child. And Jasmine did everything right, and we need to make sure that she is free and she can go back to work. She has a job. This woman took the day off to go in and access benefits. We have pushed for so many reforms in this city. And every time we have one of these incidents, we take 10 steps back. Right. 10 steps back in the progress that we try to make. And so we don't want Jasmine Headley to just be another hashtag, but this has to be a real transformative change in the way we do business. It should never be a crime to be poor in this city. And for too many women and mothers and women of color, it is a crime, and we are treated as such. And so we are outraged. This is unacceptable. We will not rest until Jasmine is reunited with her family and we talk about the larger issues. This woman should have been given a damn seat, a seat to sit down.
Right.
The humanity in this society that we have lost. The people that were in this center that allowed a mother and her child to sit on the floor. The security guards that allowed this situation to escalate out of control. And the fact that they thought it was necessary to call 911. The police responded because they were called. They should have never been called in the first place. What does it mean when we don't know how to handle situations in our HRA centers? So this situation to me has been an absolute nightmare, traumatizing for a mother and for anyone with human dignity to watch that video. You would be inhumane not to be affected by this. It could have been any one of us,
right.
Our sisters, our mothers, our aunts, our children.
That's
and
right.
So we have to stand for what is right. It is not a crime to be poor, and we're going to stand together and make sure Jasmine is released, and we make sure that we implement more reforms, because you cannot legislate morality and you cannot legislate common sense. Common sense is not that common, and we're going to continue to stand until we get the necessary reforms in this city. Thank you all.
And City Council Member Donovan Richards is chair of the Public Safety Committee, which oversees the NYPD. He says police are never arrested or held accountable for their actions. He adds that these things happen because the city has made criminals out of poor people.
We need to ensure that there is a strong message that if you ever are part of actions like this, you are fired. How many NYPD officers have been fired for these actions? Zero. You look at Garner. I hear everybody today. But we need people to stand with us when we are saying to this system, a person was jailed for sitting on the floor. That is not a crime. Why was the NYPD there? Why are black women and men and Latinos held at these centers for 3 and 4 hours? That is the crime here.
That's right.
That is the crime. We are criminalizing poverty, but we're also telling people that they don't matter because you're poor, because you need a Metro card, because you need childcare. That is the bigger problem here. So until we address these systematic issues. I'm glad the press is here today. But there are a lot of people who don't catch these incidents on camera. These incidents are happening day in and day out. It's happened to my family members. It's happened to my constituents. Even as council staffers, we have to go down to these HRA offices because we can't get an answer from HRA on a case as city council members. So if we're going to truly be serious about reform, we need to address these systematic issues, and we need to hold the NYPD accountable for this as well. Thank you.
City Council Member Donovan Richards. Andrea Ritchie is researcher in residence on race, gender, sexuality, and criminalization. She's the author of Invisible No More, Racial Profiling and Police Brutality Against Women and LGBTQ People of Color. She spoke with WBAI.
What's happening here is what happens across the country in terms of how poor people are policed, about how black women are policed, how black mothers are policed, and the expectation that black women in particular will comply with, you know, will fully comply and must comply on pain of punishment like this to any order, including an order to, you know, move from the only place they can sit in an HRA office where they've been waiting for 4 hours with a one-year-old. I mean, anyone who's a parent knows that sitting with a one-year-old or being with a one-year-old for 4 hours requires sitting down, requires the child to be able to sit down. If there's nowhere else to sit, then the floor is the only place. And this is certainly not something that warrants a police response. And so it's also representative of what's happening across the country in terms of police being and criminalization and arrest being the default response to anything and everything, including the mere presence of black women, of black mothers in public spaces. She was charged with criminal trespass in a public space. She was charged, all the other charges came from what the police officers did to her for merely being in a place that she was entitled to be to get benefits that she was entitled to, doing what society demands of black mothers, which is that, you know, people, you know, work and take care of their children. Here she was doing exactly what, you know, she is being expected to do and being punished for it regardless, which is typical of how black mothers are treated in the United States, whether they're, you know, doing what's expected or doing anything else, frankly, being in public spaces.
It's not something that you really even hear that happens in Europe. You don't hear about it happening in Asia. You hear about this happening in the United States constantly.
I mean, I'm sure it happens in those places where black people, where people of color, people of African descent, where people who are immigrants, people who are poor are concerned. We happen to be living in the United States and in a place where people are increasingly documenting this kind of behavior on social media, so we're more aware of it. But it's, I think, in the United States, very much rooted in the legacy of chattel slavery, of black women being treated like they're not entitled to any of the benefits of personhood, of womanhood, of chivalry, of a chair in an office where they're waiting for things that they're entitled to, and of black mothers being treated with such a disregard. I mean, watching the police rip her child from her can't help but sort of call up images of children being ripped from black mothers during slavery, and that's just sort of a normalized behavior in this country that we wouldn't normalize or expect or tolerate when it happens to a mother of another race. We're seeing it happen at the border to immigrant women, to Latinx people, and we've seen it happen across history to women of color and particularly to black women, and this is just a modern-day representation of that kind of punishment of black women for merely existing and, you know, being waiting to receive basic entitlements, things that people are entitled to as a basic human right, like child care.
Does social class have something to do with this? The fact that she was in a human resources administration office asking for a benefit of something, even though she was working class person herself?
Absolutely. I mean, this is how poverty is policed. This is how people who are low income, who are receiving government entitlements, are treated. This is certainly not the first time I've heard of police violence against a black woman in an HRA office, in a welfare office. It's a frequent occurrence. Often there are frustrations expressed about waiting for hours, for days. If you're being expected to keep a job, if part of the condition of you receiving benefits is to keep a job, yet when you go to get the things that you need to keep the job, you're kept waiting for hours, and you might lose your job waiting for the things that you need to keep it, people get frustrated. and, you know, sometimes elevate voices. And when police are called in response to that and respond with this kind of violence, with this kind of brutality, with this kind of arrest and criminalization, it just further pushes people into poverty completely, purely out of racism and anti-black racism specifically. So now Jasmine has been sitting on Rikers for 4 or 5 days away from her one-year-old child. I can't imagine. I hope that her employer understands and doesn't take her job from her, but it would not be uncommon for this to result in the loss of employment. And this is something that happens to black women every single day who are just trying to navigate a system that's supposed to give them things that are basic human rights, basic entitlements. But this is how poverty is policed in the United States.
Now, most of the people, when I look at the video, not all, but most of the people involved, and this would be typical in an HRA office, are actually people of color. The security people are mostly people of color. There was a couple of white people there, too. Why do people of color treat each other this way?
I think it's about systems and about how systems treat people. And so if you're an employee of a system, there's a way in which there's expectations, there's standards, there's norms that are set about how people who come to receive services, to receive things that they're entitled to at those offices are treated. And so really, it's sort of like police officers. Police officers of color also commit violence against black women and women of color every single day because that's what the system is set up to do. And when you're part of the system, that's the expectation, that's what the training is, and that's what the standard and the norm is, and that's the kind of enforcement that happens no matter who's doing the enforcement.
What can we do about this? Is there any way out of this? What is the way out?
I think we have to dramatically shift our understanding, one, of entitlements, and two, of people who receive them, like Jasmine. Jasmine's a mom. She's working. She's entitled to receive child care support, and so she's entitled to be in the office that she needs to go to, and she's entitled to not have to wait 4 hours to get it. She's entitled to receive it as easily, as quickly as possible so she can get back to the business of taking care of her child in her life. And so I think that's the first thing we need to do, is just shift the way we understand people who are receiving government assistance of any kind or entitlements of any kind. And two, we have to shift our response to every disagreement to being calling the police, because this is the result. This is consistently the natural outcome of that. And then the third thing we need to do is really shift our understanding of and the narratives that frame black women as undeserving, as bad mothers, as undeserving to be in public spaces, undeserving to express a demand that they be treated with dignity, undeserving of basic respect and dignity. Those are the things that we need to shift in order to get at the root of this problem and stop this kind of thing from happening on a daily basis as it currently does.
You know, her attorney said that she gets the same benefit for her. You know, she's a director of the Brooklyn Defender Services and gets the same benefit that Jasmine Headley gets. A lot of women.
Yes. She's a white woman and doesn't, you know, and gets it in a way that doesn't jeopardize her employment and doesn't lead to the police being called on her if she expresses frustration at having to sit on the floor because there's nowhere else to sit or wait 4 hours to receive something she's entitled to.
Yeah, the conditions in these, and I'll leave you with this, the conditions in these offices is pretty much the same. You go to all of them, there's no care for the children. It's just push you through, and nobody cares. Nobody answers anything. If you ask any questions, they look at you. Get in trouble just for asking a question. You know, you're not allowed to ask questions. It's a real authority thing going on.
It's completely devoid of treating people with human dignity. So I think going back to your original question of what's the answer to this, universal child care is the answer to this. Universal guaranteed minimum wage is the answer to this. Universal